ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
मत्परमो मद्भक्तः संगवर्जितः निर्वैरः सर्वभूतेषु यस्ममेति पांडव।
ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर अर्जुना, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of furtive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. So we were hearing from the previous verse, भक्त्या तु अनन्यया शक्य अहमेवं विधोर्जुन। सो दैट कृष्ण सेड इट्स ओनली बाय द पाथ ऑफ भक्ति दैट वन कैन नो मी एज आई एम एंड नो अदर वे। एंड हियर वी हैव फाइव कंपोनेंट्स ऑफ व्हाट कॉन्स्टिट्यूट्स दैट अनन्य भक्ति दैट कृष्ण एक्सप्लेन्स इन दिस वर्स। Generally, the living beings in this world are accustomed to selfish activities, which is very pleasing to their mind and senses. What to speak of Krishna, they don't think of even the other living entities. Everyone, they think of their own activities, every living being. It's very natural. This I read it in one sentence by Prabhupada. Prabhupada says the living entities in this world are accustomed to think of selfish activities, either immediate or extended. So like that he says. So when we say selfish, at this point and place, the self means body. Because everyone thinks of their own body. And things which will gratify their body and mind. People think in terms of that. Any activity I do, that should be causing pleasure to me. That should lead to my pleasure. Otherwise, I won't do any activity. This is actually the criteria that everyone sets in this world. Whether it is a very attractive dress we see, as soon as you see a very attractive dress, you feel, oh, I should wear it. It is so nice. Isn't it? You see attractive jewelry, oh, that is just fit for me. You feel like that, isn't it? Or attractive car, or attractive bungalow. Anything that we see, we immediately think that is just fit for me. That's meant for my pleasure. So we only can think of ourselves first. Ourselves, our own body first. What will bring pleasure to my body? Similarly, any program anybody attends, first thing they think is, will that give me some fun or some joy or some pleasure? Or after program people say, Madaya. The people say, oh, it was nice, I enjoyed. So they don't think of others or they don't think of God. They always consider themselves something. Yes, I enjoyed. I wanted to enjoy, okay, I enjoyed. Or I didn't enjoy. It was not nice. So that actually becomes the basic parameter in everyone's life for counting whether something will give me happiness or will not give me happiness. So this is called as immediate pleasure. I was in a long tour I went to Calcutta and Kharagpur, Jamshedpur, then Warangal and Hyderabad and came back. So when I was in Andhra, Hyderabad, I saw a big poster of Hanuman, picture of Hanuman. So I was very happy because in our childhood we have seen Dhruva, Prahalad and all. So I was telling one of my boys who was sitting in the bus, a Telugu boy, that good, although we say days have changed, still occasionally you find such nice pictures coming, you know. Once in a while you see Hanuman, once in a while you see Prahalad, Dhruva and all. He said, no, Prabhuji, don't be misled. This movie, my relatives have seen this movie. They told me that in this movie, there is a hero and heroine, and Hanuman helps the heroine to meet the hero. They have used like that. So, of course, they have shown big Hanuman, and the hero is going and praying to Hanuman. And just like Hanuman helps Sita to meet Ram, in this movie they have shown Hanuman helping the heroine to meet hero, he said. That's how they use, you can imagine. So people's bodily consciousness is so strong that people can distort such pastimes of the Lord and use it for their own happiness, their own pleasure. Just see. How much the bodily consciousness is strong. The living entity wants to enjoy so much that they distort such stories and make it like this. See. So this is bodily consciousness. Actually, this bodily consciousness causes attachment. The selfishness causes attachment. And attachment is a cause of suffering in this world. That's how the things are related. So, first if one is attached to one's own body, then one is also attached to things that are connected to the body. For example, don't think I'm saying it so frankly, but this is how the world goes. Like if somebody gives pleasure to my body, so that body is important for me. Say the body of wife and children. They're important. Why? Because this entity or this object is a cause of pleasure to this body. So that has to also be taken care of. Whether wife or children or your business partner or whether he's your employee working under you. So one has to take care. Why should you take care? Because that is the cause of my happiness. Otherwise that will not give me happiness. Like that. That's why one wants to take care like that. And this is called extended sense gratification, which actually goes much farther. And Prabhupada says in one of his purports very interestingly, he says that people not only want to serve their body, they also want to do many other activities, like he says many isms, he says, like nationalism, altruism, philanthropism, or communism, all these isms. So all these isms are very attractive forms of karma bandhana, he says. All these different isms. Why? Because they are counted under the category of extended sense gratification. How? Actually nobody will believe it if we tell them that this is sense gratification. They will say this person is selfless. He is actually doing it for the benefit of society. He is feeding the people. He has started a society or a club, or a Lions club or a Rotaract club or whatever club. What's wrong in that? They are ultimately serving the people. No. Like I was there in one of the cities, Calcutta. So they had called me. They had a club called as Round Table Club. So they are all over India. They have this Round Table Clubs. So they had called me for a leadership seminar. So I had gone. So they were telling me, before 2008, we want to bring about 1 million people literate in India. They want to make 1 million people literate in India. So that's our goal. So of course, there are many clubs like this and societies like this, they have clubs. But if you go a little closer, take a closer look, you'll find many ulterior motives behind these things. Because one's name is very important. One's name and fame is very important. Who did it? Which person did it? So he has to be given the credit. People take the credit certainly. So somebody wants to be a father of something, father of the nation, or father of a club, and wants to make the club famous because he himself is the father of the club. He wants to make that famous. These are very subtle. One may not even be able to see with eyes, but it's called as extended sense gratification, because there is an invisible connection from this person's body to that entity, and that entity actually gives him satisfaction. You will see that. Because he gets pleasure through that, because when that cloth is glorified, then he is glorified. That's how a person is attached like that. So, we are talking about selfishness here, because selfishness, either immediate or extended, has a direct connection to attachment which leads to suffering in this world. Kunti Marani, in her prayer, she is praying to Krishna, Sneha Pasha Nimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. She is praying, my dear Krishna, on one side I am related to the Vrishnis, on her father's side, and her mother's side, on her husband's side, her husband is Pandu, and she has a Pandavas. So sometimes she prays to Krishna that please protect the Pandavas, always be with them. She prays. On the other hand, she feels, oh, if Krishna is always with the Pandavas, then he will never give any time to the Vrishnis. And they are also my relatives. So they will suffer. Then she prays, oh, better you be with Vrishnis for some time. And then when Krishna goes to be with them, then she feels, then who will protect my sons, Pandavas? So she says, the material world is so made that often, because of the tie of affection, our minds are always wound and very disturbed. That is the nature of the material attachment in this world. Because when we are attached to people and things of this world, that creates a tremendous disturbance. To the extent that even Kunjimana is praying, even she is disturbed. And she is praying that please sever this tie of affection. So that is the bodily affection or blood relationship, as we call it. Blood relationship in terms of mother, father, or brother, sister, or husband, wife, children. So these kind of relationships, they cause a kind of tie of affection. And this kind of affection and attachment over a period of time can cause many things. One of the things that it causes, as I said, this attachment is suffering. What kind of suffering you can see in the life of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana relationship? How Dhritarashtra was attached to Duryodhana, due to which this attachment caused the whole war of Kurukshetra. This attachment was the cause of millions of people dying. You can see that. Because he focused all his energy on this one boy, this one son Duryodhana, and he was ready to do anything for him. And you can see the same way in the Shastra, there are many, many pastimes to show how the attachment to the material relationships is the cause of suffering. Even if one knows that this is actually material attachment, one cannot give up. That's the nature of material attachment. So this is sentimental attachment, we call it. What is the difference between sentimental attachment and real attachment? There is a great difference between the two. Just like seeing somebody in darkness is not seeing at all. But when there is sunlight, then you see people in the proper perspective. Who is who like that? Although in darkness also you may touch someone, you may perceive someone, but you can't be very sure. Sometimes when you are walking in a dark road, somebody comes, you think it is your friend. When you go nearby, you say it's somebody else. You have experience of this? Isn't it? Somebody is coming, the height may be same, the fairness may be same, he's wearing specs or whatever, or tall or short or whatever. And then when they come near, you realize, oh, it's somebody else. I thought it's the same person. I feel like that. So in darkness, you don't actually see the people properly. But in the sunlight, you see. Similarly, we are seeing the bodies in this world and we are becoming attracted. The reason for this attachment in this world is we are actually seeing perverted bodies, perverted reflections in this world. And it appears to be very attractive and it causes us attachment. But the actual attachment lies in the spiritual sky. You see, we can never give up desire. We can never give up the emotions like anger or hankering or attachment. It's impossible. We can only shift the focus from one to another. So ideally speaking, we are supposed to shift the focus from the material relationships to the spiritual relationship. That's the ideal. And if we don't do that, and if we keep sentimental relationship, we will suffer at this world. Actually, even amongst devotees here, she is saying, Pandavas are devotees of Krishna. But she is saying, although they are devotees, still I have a blood connection, family connection with them. So because of which it's likely that my relationship could be material. So she is praying, There are two verses prayed by her. One is for detachment and one is for attachment. So she is saying, let me detach myself from this kind of sentimental relationships and become attached only to you, only to Krishna. Like this she is praying in the next verse. Like that. So that attachment actually exists on a pure spiritual plane where we see everyone as spirit. You know, there is a story of a queen. This queen, one day before bathing, she removed all her jewelry and she kept it on the parapet wall, some wall. And then after she bathed, then she saw the beautiful necklace was missing. It was not to be seen. And she immediately went to the king and said, I want this particular necklace. I lost it. It was about 1 crore or something. Very costly. And the king said, never mind, I'll get you one new one. But she was adamant, I want only that, she said. Because one crow had lifted it. One crow took it and flew away. And the king tried to pacify her. Nothing was of avail. She was very adamant. Then the king arranged many, many soldiers and servants to go in all directions. He even made an announcement. Anybody who gets that necklace, I will give them 10 crores, he said. And the king was sure, because you know it's only 1 crore valuable jewel, they will surely come and give it, because they will get 10 crores in return. But still nobody could bring it. At last, once a man who was desperately searching for the necklace everywhere, he went all around the town he was searching. At last he found it out. You know where he found out? It was in the water. He saw the same jewelry according to the description. And he was so happy and he jumped into the water and he dived deep to get it. But he couldn't get it. And he was wondering how. I'm seeing it in water, I couldn't capture it. Then again he came out and saw. Again he could find it in the water. Again he took a jump. And it went on practically till noon, from morning till noon. Then he was wondering, then he called, there was a sage passing by. And then he thought of seeking his help. But then he became fearful that he may become a competitor. He will take and go away. The sage asked him, what do you want? It seems you have some question, but you are also hesitating. Then he said, no, no, no question, you can go away. After the sage insisted, then he told him, you see, first I want to take a promise from you. And he took a promise from the sage that he will not carry it away. Then the sage promised. And then he said, come here, I'll show you. See, I am seeing this necklace, but I am not able to get it. Somehow it has gone down deep. I am able to grasp the sand, grasp the pebbles, but not that jewelry. Then the sage laughed and told him, just look up the tree. So he looked up in the tree and the necklace was hanging from the tree. In one of the branches, the crow had put it there. So he never noticed it. He was just watching the necklace down. In the same way, in this world, we all become fascinated by material relationships in this world. All material relationships. I saw in the train one small child, must be 5 year old child, 5 or 6 year old child. And the child was blabbering different things. And there were about practically 20 family members, bringing from mother, father, and the mother's sister, and father's brother, and grandfather, grandmother, great-grandfather, everyone was sitting. You could see them of different age groups. And when the child was speaking, practically the whole attention was on the child's face. Everyone. Nobody, there are so many vendors passing by, going, coming, making sound, chai-chai and all that. But everyone's attention. And the child said one word, I don't know what he said, some word in Telugu. Everyone burst into laughter and said, just see, the child said that word, and the child said that word. They were just waiting for that one word and the child said that. So people are, you can see that in this world the material attachment is so deep rooted. The great grandfather I saw, his body was made up of wrinkles only. Whole body was full of wrinkles. And even he was laughing heartily and showing, pinpointing to the child. It's very deep rooted in this world. So we have deep rooted attachments to the relatives and friends. And to sometimes even very distant relatives, we have attachment. But those things have to be diverted to spiritual platform. Just like this necklace was on the top of the tree. It was not in the water. So this fellow was trying to get it in the water. He couldn't get anything. Similarly, material relationships or sentimental relationships. as long as one remains in the sentimental plane of material relationships, one is supposed to be born again and again, repeatedly. In fact, the tie of affection is what that brings us back. Sometimes in homes you will see, they will say, hey, the great grandfather has born again. Look at him, how he smiles. You have seen people say that? In families, he has come again. He is smiling like him, he is walking like him, he is doing activities. Sometimes you see, it's true also sometimes. The same person has come again because he was attached to the family. He is born again also. It happens. In homes, like in certain families, they give the grandfather's name also, they give. Name also keep repeating, can see that. So people are born in the same family also again. Sometimes it happens also. And we can be born again repeatedly, million times, like that. So one has to take all these emotions and apply it on a spiritual plane towards Krishna. That is why in those two verses she is saying, first she is saying, Sneha Pashamam Chindi. Whereas the next verse she is saying, Tvayi me ananya vishya mathir madhupate sakritam. That verse she says. That let all my energies, let all my thoughts flow towards you, in your service. By that she is praying. So develop attachment for Krishna. Because the material attachment leads to suffering and pain. Even the very thought of losing something or someone whom we love the most causes so much pain. What to speak of actually losing it? In this world you can see that it's very, very deep rooted. It's very deep rooted. Whether it is father, mother and child relationship, or husband, wife relationship, or parents and children relationship, whatever it is. In this world it is very, very deep rooted. So before one leaves the body, one has to develop oneself to a plane where one develops attraction for Krishna. And how will that come? That is explained in this verse. That one has to render some service to Krishna. And that service should be performed with love. And if one can do that, gradually one's attraction for Krishna will increase as time goes on. So we were talking so much about the selfishness and attachment to the bodily relationships and sentimental relationships, because that is diametrically opposed to spiritual relationship. If we have sentimental relationship, we will see that, like for example, even there were some people who had a sentimental affection for Prabhupada when Prabhupada was there. Wherever Prabhupada travelled in the world, they would travel with him. Because they had a lot of money they had. They would just make ticket and travel with Prabhupada. One time, these devotees who were travelling with Prabhupada, everywhere Prabhupada went, they were travelling. And Prabhupada was sitting on a chair and they were sitting in front of him, just looking at his face, to get some nectar from him. Prabhupada may say something, can hear something. And Prabhupada was looking somewhere else. And there he saw, and his eyes were dilated and happily smiling. There he saw some devotees distributing his books in the airport. So Prabhupada's whole eyes were there, was watching there, those devotees. And then he was commenting about those devotees. And he was hardly noticing these devotees who were sitting right next to him. So Prabhupada was more keen that devotees follow his instructions rather than be sentimentally attached to him. And after Prabhupada left the planet, they also left ISKCON. That happened to many of them. Because the attachment was not based on any sound philosophical understanding. It was just superficial. And there are many people like that who also develop attachment for preachers in a moment like that. On a superficial plane. Oh, he tells nice stories, or he tells nice jokes, you know. Oh, this devotee, he smiles so beautiful. Or he dances so gracefully. So superficially people develop sentimental attachment to others. Or we can even have friendship with devotees on a superficial plane. So what will happen is, in the long run we will see, time will tell whether our relationships are deep rooted, whether they are actually spiritual or mundane, sentimental. As time progresses we will come to know. So if one understands what is actually spiritual relationship, like here we find Krishna gives many activities that one should do in order to develop relation for him. What is the advantage in one rendering service to Krishna? That is seen in the scriptures. Krishna doesn't benefit in any way. Only we benefit by rendering service to him. Krishna doesn't need anything. He is the creator of everything. He is the source of everything. As he says in the 10th chapter, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Matta Sarvam Pravartate. He doesn't need the food. He is not hungry for our food. He is not hankering for the clothes. Like we hanker for new clothes. Krishna doesn't hanker. He has everything. So, but if we offer him, then we become fortunate. Just like the fruit vendor lady who was passing by, she wanted to, when she saw this baby Krishna bringing some palm full of rice, trying to offer him. Actually, it was hardly, she was concerned about the rice he brought. She developed a kind of attraction for him. She developed great love for this child. And she decided that whatever the child gives, that is immaterial, I am going to give all my fruits to him. She started loading his hands with fruits, more than Krishna could hold. So when someone offers Krishna abundantly, without any restriction or hesitation, then Krishna also reciprocates with such a person. So Prabhupada explains that a person who wants to be totally detached, to cut off, this is one beautiful sentence Prabhupada says, to cut off all family affection means to broaden activities of devotional service. This is the meaning. He says, to cut off the tie of affection of family relationships means to broaden one's activities of devotional service. That means actually one is not having a sentimental material attachment. We can understand. Here it is important to know, like you find sometimes there are many people who are doing some kind of devotional service. They may allot some time for chanting, some time for going to a program. So it's likely that one may become like a sort of pious materialist, as Bhaktivinoda Saraswati says. So pious materialist is one who is very pious in doing activities. He likes brahmanas, he gives them some dan, he may chant some mantras, but he is more oriented towards his material life. A practical example is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about the father of Raghunath Das Goswami and uncle, Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar. They were actually not proper Vaishnavas. They were some kind of Vaishnavas. What kind of Vaishnavas were they? From a distance, of course, they accepted Vishnu as supreme or Krishna as supreme, and they would give some charity to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. But they were more oriented towards their business life. They were more oriented towards the worldly life. So Prabhupada in this sentence he says one interesting thing you can see here. If you read the purport here, page number 607. See, there's a sloka he quotes, and below that. Fourth line. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. If a businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, and if he has to offer all this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna. Instead of constructing a big building for his sense gratification, he can construct a nice temple for Krishna. And he can install the deity of Krishna and arrange for the deity service as is outlined in the authorized books of devotional service. This is all Krishna karma. One should not be attached to the result of his work, but the result should be offered to Krishna. And one should accept as prasadam the remnants of offering to Krishna. If one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there. But it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. So he says here, as he says here, we can see that as one renders devotional service, one should render the devotional service with love. First we offer the devotional service as a duty, so that over a period of time then that will be love. But one should sacrifice something for Krishna. So what is the meaning of sacrificing? You see, even after becoming devotees, still there are many devotees in our movement who are not totally convinced that one should engage only in Krishna service. Like there are people who give some money to ISKCON, and they give some money to Sadhu Vaswani, and they give some money to CRY organization, and they also give some money to various, like Rotary Club, Lions Club, many other activities. So they have some policy that yearly this is my quota of donation that I can give in charity to others. But any organization comes, I'll give little to them, and this much amount. So, and part of that can be used in devotion service. There are many people who do that. And they don't see much difference in that. But actually Krishna karma is diametrically opposed to social service. In fact, social service, if a devotee does social service, it's like a devotee offering bribe to a thief. You will see that how. For example, if somebody is in a jail, if somebody is living in a jail, he is saying, oh, there are too many mosquitoes, sir, in the jail. You give him a mosquito coil. Oh, the water is so cold in the morning. Okay, take this geyser. Oh, the floor is so chilly in the night. Okay, take this thick blanket. Oh, sir, the whole jail is full of darkness. Okay, I'll arrange a special lighting for you. Arrange lighting. So you do all these facilities, you are encouraging a thief to remain in the jail. If you know, so for this round table people, I was talking to them. At the end, I gave them the same example. And I asked them, what do you understand from this example of a thief in the jail? And you are helping. You are trying to make him literate. How have you benefited him? So, what would you do to such a thief? And then many of them were saying, oh, that fellow is suffering, we should help him. You know, if mosquitoes are there, we should give him mosquito coil. You know, if he wants hot water, we should provide him. You know, we should certainly help him. Practically, they were all educated, big men. Practically 15-20 men were there. All owners of one company, big company. So only one person said, in that, only one person could capture the answer. Then I asked this question in a different way. What is the purpose of the jail? Why have they put him in the jail? What is the best service you can do to him? Then he said, the purpose of the jail is to reform. And that person should, we should help him to come out of the jail, he said. So, similarly, a devotee's goal is to help people come out of this material world. Come out of the jail. That is actually the goal. So, we should never entertain people to remain in this material world. And a devotee should be convinced, you know this famous verse, Shraddha Shabda Vishwasa Kahe Sudrida Nishchai, Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Karma, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kratahai. If one does Krishna Bhakti, then all activities are done. When Krishna is satisfied, then everyone is satisfied. Actually, how when Krishna is satisfied, everyone is satisfied? You see, just as this house now, it's owned by someone. The owner of the house. So if he is not happy, can everyone else be happy at home? Is it possible? Say, if owner of a house is mentally disturbed, or physically disturbed, and is not peaceful, when he is not earning, then the whole house cannot be peaceful. You will see that. The main predominating person in the house, he has to be cool, he has to be properly situated. And everyone else who is dependent on him, they all can be happy also. Is it not true? It's a simple logic. Anybody can understand this logic. Same way, who is the predominant person in the whole creation? Krishna. And in one of the purports, Prabhupada says this in Bhagavatam, that the whole nature is created by Krishna. By Krishna, and all the living entities are sent to this world by Krishna. So the person who is the predominant person, he has to be kept happy. If he is pleased, then when he smiles, then the whole nature will smile. When Krishna smiles, the nature will smile. Because when Krishna glances, that's the time when all the birds start flying, the trees start waving, and the wind starts blowing, the sun starts rising. All activities take place in this world. When Krishna glances at the nature. When Krishna doesn't glance, the whole nature practically stands still. And even Kunti Maharaj says in one of her prayers, that because Krishna, it's by your glance that everything is flourishing in nature. The rivers are full of water, the mountains full of minerals, oceans are full of gems and everything, pearls and everything. So in the modern times, people ask why God is so cruel. He has created drought everywhere. There is no water supply. Everywhere we are finding natural resources going down. There is no surprise at all. When we don't please God, when man becomes atrocious, then God's smile is not on the nature. When God doesn't smile, then nature becomes naturally bereft of any beauty. And you can see that. When Lord is satisfied, then everything flourishes. Everything flourishes, you can see that. So that is why Yasmin Tushtam Jagat Tushtam, it is there. So Krishna just puts a shark leaf from the Akshaya Patra, then all the Dhruva Sumuni and disciples are satisfied. Isn't it? So people ask, why are you people chanting Hare Krishna? Why don't you do some social service? Why don't you help the poor? Why don't you... Like one, in the course of my preaching, I came across one family in NIT Warangal. So these people, both husband wife, quite elderly, they must be above 60. So the wife is like a principal of a school. The husband has worked in NIT, a big man, physics professor. So I met, they had their son, the son's daughters are all abroad, so they were there. So we had gone to the house. So we were talking, they were saying how they were so impressed with social service. They were saying that one man, one doctor, he has a emergency operation, mobile operation theater. And anybody who has problem in the city, they can phone him up and within like 40 minutes or so he will reach them. And by doing that, he has published in the paper that he has brought the death rate from, you know, so many deaths to so many deaths. Something like that, you know. Like there were about, from, say, if 80% of people are dying, say, you know, he has brought it to 60% or 50%. Like they saved the lives of many people like that. So the wife was saying, I am most impressed with this, she was saying. Husband also said, yes. This kind of service impresses. So they were asking us, after training these boys, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to do social service like this? So, they were asking. Anyway, so they were asking, if you are going to engage them in social service, you know, then if a person is, who is about to die at 70, you save him and he can live till 90. If you can help, it will be very nice. Then I asked them, they had completed the course on Siddhi Samadhi Yoga. So I told them, you know about the soul, and they knew about the soul. Then I said, imagine that you understand that you are not the body or the soul. Your life is actually eternity. In that eternity, how good is increasing a person's lifespan from 70 to 90 by this 20 years? This 20 years increment you are giving him in time span of eternity, what is it like? It is like 1 by infinity. It is zero. It has no value. This 20 years in the time span of eternity, millions and millions and crores and Arabs of years, like that. So they immediately understood. They were intelligent people. So if one thinks deeply, one will understand that this kind of, we can never saturate the situation of this world, ever, at any point of time. No matter how much social service you do, people are not going to become peaceful or happy. Like you start an orthopedic hospital, to saturate the hand and leg of people, repair the hand and leg of people, then they'll get a brain tumor, then you have to set up a brain tumor hospital. They'll get a heart problem, then you have to set a cardiologist, you can have hundreds of doctors. You keep repairing the people's bodies again and again, they get again problems. You will see that. Saturate the hand, they get problem in the leg, saturate the leg, problem in the head, everywhere. Because his body is like that. The whole material body is made like that. No matter how much service you do, always his body is decaying. You can see that how this body is gradually dwindling, everyone's body in this world.
So,
he's saying one person had a successful heart operation and while coming back home he died in an accident. I say. So you can see that in the material world like that. So when we are, why I am giving these examples, like there are people among devotees who argue, why not worship Ganesha? You know, even Rupa Goswami says we should worship Ganesh. So one devotee was showing me a quote from Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada says one should worship Ganesh in one place. So he was arguing that he spent so much time worshipping Ganesh. And he's saying even Prabhupada says we should worship. So we can pull out something from Prabhupada's purport and try to highlight it and exaggerate it and try to cook our own philosophy if you want. And we can do what we like if you want. Same way, there are many people who think that, you know, they are not convinced that if you serve Krishna it is enough. They are not convinced. There are people who think that you have to actually serve the poor in some way. Directly you have to serve the poor. Anyway, Prabhupada gave this food for life. He said, okay, if you have that strong material desire to serve the poor, at least you Krishnaize it by, you know, cooking and making it into prasad by offering bhoga to Krishna and then you serve. There are people even in our program who came and they were attending some 3-4 weeks program and they have gone away. Many senior people. Now I know they are doing some social service outside. There are people. They heard Krishna consciousness. Still they are absorbed in social service. So it requires the vision to see How by serving Krishna the whole world can become happy? Because they cannot see Krishna is the most predominant person. They are envious of Krishna. Because when you build a temple for Krishna and spend crores of money in making a beautiful big marble palace for Krishna, put nice costly crown on Krishna, says just like Tirupati Balaji, is having, people become envious. Why should we spend so much on God, so much for the temple? Just like, you know, Ganesha is sitting under a banyan tree, small, like you make a small shelter for him and you make him sit under a tree, that is good enough. Why to spend so much for God? Better spend all that money for the poor people. There are many people who argue like that. This goes to show their direct envy. One-to-one, they are like mini Shishupals. Yeah. So much envy they have. You see, even an average human being, every one of us, I am not talking of any human being, even all of us we will see in our lives, depending on how much you earn salary, accordingly you will have facility for living, a house. From one room kitchen, you go for a two room and 4 BHK, 6 BHK, isn't it? You have a flat and then you'll go for individual bungalow. Don't you go like that? Can any of us say that, depending on my salary, I won't increase? Any of you will live in a chal, even after earning 40,000 rupees from a software company? Is there anyone here who will continue to live in a chal? Say that, no, I just need this small place. Will anybody live like that? Depending on how big is the salary bulging and bulging more and more, somebody says house size also will bulge generally. And the car dress you wear. Nowadays people wear safari, even a farmer wears safari nowadays. Because you earn so much money. Yeah. In those days safari was worn only by some managers. Nowadays everyone wears safari. Yeah. People buy mobiles, people keep safari. And the people buy cars also accordingly. If you are earning more money, you know, in the beginning you will get a Maruti, you know. And then over a period of time you will have bigger and bigger cars. More and more fashionable cars. Yeah, flashy cars, isn't it? That's very natural, you can see that. And the facilities will increase. You will have AC and you will have this, that. Everything will increase like that, you will see. Depending on one's money is improved. If you see, when it comes to God, people become envious. God is the greatest person. He's the number one man in the whole creation. You cannot build a temple for him. He is so great. What kind of temple are you going to make? Yeah. Such people, they come in flashy cars, they have crores and crores of money and they just put some 50 rupees in the hundi. You can see that. Yeah, it's... Actually, it goes to show them. And they become envious. When you make a crown for God, they become envious. Why should God wear such a crown? Such a costly crores of rupees crown. And why not take their money and serve the poor? And that too, we will serve the poor and we will take the name as the Annadata. God should not take any name. Many people think, you know, why should we offer the food to God and then give? Why not give directly food? They don't understand. They don't know the value of prasadam at all. There are so many people in Pune also giving, you know, during festivals giving 10,000, 20,000 people food. But they want that name. They are fruitive. The fruity mentality is there. That people should know, they put a board, they put their name. So and so is giving food to everyone, so and so is giving water to everyone during the summer season or whatever. So such people actually are not rendering service at all. It's all social service. It's insignificant compared to devotion service that is rendered to Krishna. Only a fortunate soul after many, many lifetimes can come to a point to understand that if I can somehow please Krishna with love, one small service you do, one tiny service you do for Krishna, and that is equivalent to serving millions and millions and millions of souls in social service. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati made one profound statement, I don't remember right now, relating social service and Krishna consciousness. You will be shocked to know that. I'll try to get that statement next time when I come. So he said, how useless is simply serving the bodies of the people, and how important it is to serve Krishna. So he made a very, very profound statement. Actually, because we have a sinful mentality, we are thinking we are serving. We are actually not serving. There is a very famous verse. He says, Labante Brahma Nirvanam Vishayakshina Kalmasha Chinnadvaidayatatmanah sarvabhuta hite ratah. Only a sinless person can know how to render service. He only will know. If any of us are sinless, then we can render service to the people. If you are not sinless, better you become followers of sinless people, like Prabhupada. Become followers of such a great personality and just do what they say. Pure souls, those are Mahabhagavad devotees, just follow in their footsteps. Actually, we cannot even follow in such a great souls. It's actually like the topic which I am talking now, it's a very delicate topic outside. People cannot understand. So one is, here see what Prabhupada says, if one builds a temple like that for Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there. You know why he says like this? It's a very sarcastic statement, because generally a person who builds a temple thinks that, chalo, I have also used some of my money to build some temple for God, this poor sadhus, you know. I'll build some temple and give. Take it. Take this money and build a temple. So people who are moneyed people, they have a lot of pride that they are doing some favor for Krishna. So here Prabhupada, see what he says here. He says here, if one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there. But it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. Yes. That means he wants to tell that although you are making a temple with your money, you are not giving any money to Krishna. It's actually Krishna who is making temple for himself to do favor for all those people. Like he says, no, manam janad vidushak karano vrinite. Lord, out of his causes mercy, actually inspires someone to donate for him and gets a temple done whenever he wants like that. So first thing is, first condemnation is that one is selfish, that one is always using everything for oneself. That is the first condemnation. Second condemnation is, one is giving, but one is simply giving for social service, which is like saving the court and allowing the drowning man to drown. That is the second condemnation. Third condemnation is that one is giving not for social service, but one is giving for Krishna. But one thinks high of oneself. That I am giving. See, no service to Krishna. In every ashram, there are dangers. In every ashram, even while entering service to Krishna. Like a brahmachari, he is entering service to Krishna, he can become very proud that I am very learned. I have studied the shastras in and out, and I can speak on anything. You give me any shloka, I will speak. So one can become proud like that, or I can quote shlokas. One can become very proud. Or brahmachari can become proud of his vairagya. That I have given up my mother and father, I have given up family, ties, I have given up everything of the world. I am Aranya Bhakta of Krishna. I am just focused only towards Krishna. So you can become very proud like that. Same way, in Grihastasham also one can become proud. As Prabhupada explains, one can think that I am giving for Krishna, I am very great. And one can think in the mind. So one can become fruitive. Or one may give to Krishna, but one may expect something in return. That Krishna should give. In that story we heard that the Falwali, that lady, fruit vendor, she gave something to Krishna and Krishna gave back, reciprocated, isn't it? So Krishna should also give me back something in return. So anticipating something from Krishna. Prabhupada says sometimes householders may have to ask some favors from Krishna. That is why Kunti Maharani is praying like that, Prabhupada is saying in that purport. Because you have, if you see in family, just like Uttara is asking a favor from Krishna, say my child, Parikshit, like that. So, when we give for Krishna, one can become proud by giving for Krishna. Like people say, I made this temple. You have seen people saying, it's my temple, I have made this. So, you have to ask, who is the deity? You are the deity or somebody else is the deity? Sometimes people think, they become very attached. And they think like that. So they are thinking they are doing a favor to the Lord by building a temple for Him. That's what Prabhupada is saying in the stone. You are not prohibited to live there. If you want, you can also live in one corner. Either he's saying, you make a big temple, you can also live in one corner. So, it is not enough to say with the lips that I have a picture of God in my shop. there are many people who put a small picture of, you know, Radha Kunja Bihari or something in their shop, in the business shop, and say, like when you go to meet them, they say, oh yes, yes, I'm both mante hain Bhagwan ko. Bhagwan is their hand. They have kept God. One penny they don't give for God. Then how do you accept him as a proprietor of your shop? How do you say you accept him as proprietor? You all can challenge people when you go. Openly ask. You are putting a picture of God in your shop and saying that he is proprietor, but we cannot accept that he is proprietor. You are the proprietor. You are putting the picture is only a show bottle. You want to show people that you are also a dharmic fellow. You are also pious. And you are using God to declare your piety. So you are using God as a means or a tool to show that you are. Sometimes in Prabhupada's time also, some boys would bring beautiful girls with them to Prabhupada and ask some questions to Prabhupada. Prabhupada would not answer them. He would neglect them totally. The reason was, Prabhupada knew very well that these boys are bringing these girls to show the girls that I also have a guru and I am also a good person, I am a pious person, so you can put faith in me and you can do whatever I demand from you. So boys make undue demands from the girls and the girls have a little fear. If I put this faith in this fellow and tomorrow this fellow ditches me, as it happens in many cases, it goes up to the point of pregnancy and the boy goes away after that. So in order to help the girl develop faith in this boy, what would the boys do? They would go to a sadhu, you know, and say, see, here is a guru and I will also put tilak for some time, you know, in the temple. You know, and you go and you say, we are also worshipping. So Prabhupada could clearly say, some other people who come like that, he would just neglect them. And show the girls that this fellow has no connection to me. Don't put faith in him. Like that. Similarly, some people try to make a show of having a connection with God. Just put a picture of God. Here Prabhupada says here, if you see the sentence here. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. If the businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, and if he has to offer all this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna. Like there is one Apar Infotech, one company, which is actually, the 100% profit of the company goes to Chapaji Temple. If you see, the Chapaji Temple, they bought like one room like this probably, you know, it will be 2.5 crores, you know, in Chapati area. This room like this, 2.5-3 crores. Yeah, it's in the prime location of the city. Every square inch is like one piece of gold, probably more. It's like buying one square inch. Nobody talks in terms of acres and all that. Everything is talked in terms of square feet. Yeah.
Millimeter square.
Very costly. So there are devotees who are working simply for Krishna. I am giving an extreme example. That's all right. So, taking all the profit and giving it off to Krishna totally and using only badly minimum. I don't want to mention names. In our society there are people who give 50% of their earning to Krishna. Like Rupa Goswami's formula. Whatever you earn, 50% to Krishna. And in the balance, you run your family, you do your, you know, travelling, basic and everything. Which is certainly very difficult. Especially in this day and age. It's not very easy. There are people who do that. This is the standard what Rupa Goswami said. It's very high standard. But this is not the demand we make of people. We tell the, like in one of the classes I asked the boys, when you all get a job, how much would you like to offer for Krishna? So many boys, they were saying 2%. 2%. And one boy said 5%. At last, 2-3 of the boys said 10%. So I said, we generally expect 10%. I said, of your earning for Krishna. So if you earn 20,000, give 2% to Krishna. It's not a very big thing. Certainly one can give at least 10%. But the highest standard is to give 50%. There are people who are, like he says, one should do business for Krishna, one should give. Actually, ours is a preaching mission, preaching movement. Preaching movement means we need land, we need labor, we need capital, we need facilities for preaching, like the vehicles, everything. ISKCON is just like any other company. You can see that. It's just like any other big company. It's like a huge, like multinational company. Only difference is, this is a company where people do seva without taking salary. People do only seva, service. Service means done without any expectation. Simply done out of love for Krishna. So, it's for the, done for the pleasure of the Lord. Huh? Simply done for the pleasure. If we were not a preaching organization, ISKCON was consisting of a bunch of sadhus, you know, sitting in Vrindavan or some holy place and chanting, and people just go to offer obeisances and come back, and they wouldn't need so much money. People wonder, like we have 30 preachers in our base faculty. So these 30 people are using one laptop. There is a competition for the laptop, and everyone, it goes from one hand to another hand. So you wonder, what will a sadhu do with a laptop, or with a mobile, or with a sumo car? But ours is a preaching organization. Preaching organization means we have everything. We have CD player, we have practically 30 two-wheelers in our temple. 30 vehicles, and that's not enough. We still need more. Because we have 30 people and we have 55 brahmacharis. You can see that. So, why am I telling this? Ours is a small temple. You can imagine temple like Juhu or and temple like Delhi, or temple like Bhartvedanta Manor. Bhartvedanta Manor gets 80,000 people during Janmashtami, they get. So, ours is a preaching organization where we use Krishna's money extensively for preaching purpose. So if one can earn lots of money and give for Krishna, if one can become a businessman like that, then one should become such a businessman. That today I got a letter from Dubai from one gentleman. He is working for a big company earning lots of money. So he had written, sir, when I become a devotee, I feel that, you know, I lose my ambition in business. You know, I don't have the vigor, you know, to go out and earn money when I do more devotion service. And then when I feel that, you know, I should be over ambitious and I work very hard in the business, then I become weak in devotion service. You know, then I become very strong there and I earn a lot of money. So I always get, you know, carried away by one of these two. And I don't know how much work to do. Please tell me how to balance. So I didn't tell him that if you are an over ambitious man by nature, and this I heard from Raghunath Swami, he said, if you are over ambitious by nature, you have a lot of passion in you. Maharaj said, better you work hard. Don't put up the show of a mendicant. Like for example, some boys want to work for a software company. They want to earn lots and lots of money. They have a lot of desire. So once one man was asking Maharaj about this question. Maharaj, you have a lot of passion in me. And I want to work hard. When I come to temple, devotees tell me that, you know, no, work only for 8 hours and work only for 10 hours. You know, please come to temple more. You know, come to our programs. Please become a Bhakti Bhiksha leader. You know, please wear dhoti kurta tilak. Always be a simple devotee. You know, don't increase your needs and don't increase your wants. You know, the way devotees preach to me, you know, I get really bogged up. You know. So I was saying, no, if you have a lot of passion for working, work hard, but also give a lot to Krishna. Give a big chunk of your earning to Krishna. Then you can work hard. Because you can't give up that passion. That passion has to be dovetailed. So dovetail it in Krishna's service. But you have to also give a lot to Krishna. Like somebody says, I want to work hard, but I want to work hard and give very little to Krishna. That means you are a materialist. You just want to make a show of a little bit of devotion service. Yeah. If you want to use that passion, earn a lot and give a lot also. Or else, if you are ready to lead a simple life, then you don't need to give money to Krishna. Then you give your energies in the form of preaching for Krishna. And like Prabhupada says, like one Vishwanatha Gurutrapa in his commentary writes, he says, so you try to build temples. If you cannot build temple, he says, then at least go to temples which are already built and you clean the floor, he says. If he says, it's already clean. Wherever I go, I see the temple's already clean. Then he says, okay, at least do gardening for Krishna. And you grow some flowers. And you pluck the flowers and offer it to Krishna with love. And also grow tulasi. And you can grow tulasi in the garden. And you can offer tulasi leaves to Krishna like that. So we can do simple things like that. So we don't have to think that, no, oh, Krishna, if you go near Krishna, I will demand money, I will run away. So you don't have to fear Krishna, that Krishna always needs money. If you cannot give money, there are other things you can do. Like he says here, Prabhupada gives examples here of, if you are a very rich man, you can give money for Krishna. If you cannot give money, then give your physical service. I mean, you try to preach for Krishna. If you say, you know, I am not very intelligent, I can't preach, I can't remember much, no problem. You cut some sabji for him, you know, clean the floor, cook for him. So many things you can do like that. But the idea is, once you render some service to Krishna, and that service should be performed with devotion, with love, understanding Krishna to be the master of the whole creation. That's very important. That's very important. Once you be able to see, we should never perform any devotional activity blindly. Like you see, somebody was building a wall and putting bricks and all. Somebody asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm just putting bricks. He said, he didn't know anything. Another man said, I am building a wall. But a third man said, I am making a temple for the Lord. He said, he had the right vision while making. He was aware. So maybe all of us are doing some tiny service. But we have to be able to see how this tiny service fits in the overall plan of the Lord. Say, I go for book distribution or money collection for Janmashtami, I am going. So how should we feel? We should feel that, you know, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Every person, there was one devotee called Haresh Prabhu here, no? Haresh Prabhu. This person used to have such a consciousness while collecting money. So he went to a Muslim fellow and he spoke to him about, you know, Janmashtami activities, and that fellow gave donation also. He brought it and he was so happy. So he used to collect from people and used to tell the people that I want to make you fortunate. Because, you know, I can go to a very big man who will give 5 crores to a temple, and then we don't have to collect from anybody, you know. But we are collecting from many people. Why? Because we want to give each and every one of you, according to your capacity, a chance to render a service to the Lord. An opportunity to render service. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said while making the Adbhuta Mandir, I was telling that we should collect one rupee from every family. Even when he made the temple, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made the temple, he collected one rupee from every family. What is the idea? That everyone has to get an opportunity to contribute to the Lord's service. That is actually the idea. Like that. So, Krishna is saying, Mat karma krit, mat paramo, mat bhakta, sangha varjitaha. So he says, avoid non-devotees, but don't be envious of them. Because such non-devotees, karma, has been created by their own mentality. Why should we become implicated? That means a devotee should not associate with non-devotees. Should keep a distance from the non-devotees. That also is saying. And you render devotional service to Krishna. Why he is saying this here? Many people who want to render service to Krishna, they will be distracted by others. Especially the relatives and friends. They will not let you render service to Krishna. Like, you know, you want to give some portion of your earning to Krishna. Say monthly, say you want to give 2,000 rupees to Krishna. Relatives and friends will say, why to give so much? You know, ISKCON people are rich people. Just give 500 rupees enough. And we can use this money here, there. And we have so much expenditure. You see, the worldly expenditure, it's like bottomless hole. No matter how much money you put there, it's not enough. Like that. So, once you actually painstakingly serve Krishna, that's how it can be called a sacrifice, isn't it? So, once you do some sacrifice, which means actually, everyone should give according to one's capacity. Once you give. Actually, the desire to give is there in everyone. One wants to give dan. But there are many people who will prevent you. That's why Narada Muni says in the 7th canto, that when you do devotional service, so many relatives will come in the way and they will tell you, don't become too serious in devotional service. You know, better work on economic development. When you become bold, God is always there. Where does he go? You know, God is never going to die. You know, even at the time of your death, he is still there. Why do you bother? You just, you know, first your mother, father, they are your God now. You know, so they are local God, but Krishna and Radha are global God. You know? What about them? You know? So they only tell you to worry about your immediate mother and father, or immediate children, immediate family. And everyone will give you an idea how to do economic development. And people who meet your relatives, your uncle, your aunt, your father, mother, brother, sisters, they will fill up your ears with so many ideas of different schemes, how to multiply your money. They'll keep telling you, come on. And they would like you to work very hard. Money, 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 money. Many parents like to see their children chasing after money. Then they say, yes, good boy. Very good boy. Yes. They want you to be like that. And if they see you serious in spiritual life, they become bewildered. What is this? in such a young age, you know, he's after God. What is the need of God? They feel like that. But Narada Muni says, you know what he says, his formula? Whatever the people ready to tell you, you keep nodding the head like a tangier bull. You know the tangier bull? You know tangier bull? There's a place called Tanjore in South India. They have a bull and they put a beautiful color cloth on the body of the bull and they decorate the bull with beautiful paint and everything. So that fellow, he'll play a drum. He'll play a drum and any question he asks, no? He'll nod the head like that. And you may wonder that the bull is actually answering the question. He's not answering. He'll never say no. All the time he'll nod the head like this. This guy is Tanjore bull, they say. Is it Nandi? Is it? Isn't it? So when your relatives give you advice, what should you do? Yeah, just nod your head. So you hear it like this and leave it like this. But then once you follow the instruction of the Guru, he says, Guru is your real well-wisher. Whatever, because Guru is taking you back to Godhead, not these people. These people are actually pulling you down and Guru is lifting you up. Decide whom you want to follow. Whether you want to follow your Guru or these people, worldly people. Worldly people will always give you advice like that. So Guru has no motives from you. Actually, no. Actually, one of the qualifications of Guru is that you cannot purchase him with your money. Even if you are a karodupati, give him crores of rupees, Guru will tell you your fault still. Like Bhagavan Saraswati, he saw once one of his wealthy disciples sitting on the back side and talking to Prabhupada. And then Bhagavan Saraswati became very angry. He said, do you think you have purchased him with your money, the donations that you give? So he chastised him. This goes to show that a sadhu is never afraid. You know, if it was somebody else, they would be afraid. Eh? If it scold a wealthy man, they may stop giving donation. But sadhu is never afraid. Because sadhu is interested in you, in helping you, spiritually. He is not interested in simply pampering your body, giving a pat on the back. Like I am speaking frankly many things today. It may not be pleasing to many people. It's surprising how nobody walked out. Because you all are devotees, isn't it? People cannot tolerate when you tell the truth. It may be very painful to many people. But the truth has to be told. We have to speak. Because we are here in this world to, like, you know, Bhagavan Saraswati says in one statement, I have to preach pure Krishna consciousness. And if I fail from doing so, then I will be cheating the Supreme Lord. In one place he says that. I cannot fail from doing my duty of glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and telling the people of the truth. If I fail from the truth, then I am not a sadhu. Then I will be cheating myself and cheating them also. Both parties will be cheated. So, we want to see the people are liberated from this world and they go back to God. We have to tell the truth. So, in this way, everyone according to one's capacity should serve Krishna. So, Prabhupada says, if you want to be a brahmana or a king, or a public leader, then you have to sacrifice. Just see the King Ramachandra. He sacrificed his own wife for the sake of the praja. Is it not true? You can see that. Similarly, public leaders, many times you find, they don't have any job only, you know that? There are many public welfare workers, they just give up. They don't, like, see Gandhi for example. When Gandhi was working, his schedule was crazy schedule. 18 hours a day he was awake, many times. And in one day he would travel sometimes hundreds of miles, 400 miles, 500 miles, sometimes. And he would go to 20, 40 places in one day to meet people like that, in the sphere of fighting for freedom. Even social welfare workers, how much they sacrifice you can see. So devotees should be even more sacrificing. Some of the social welfare workers, when you see them, you get really inspired. They work so hard. But they are not working in the right direction. Actually, the hard work they are putting is actually meant for Krishna, but they don't know. They are putting it in social service. You can see that. And you can see devotee should never be complacent. Devotee should be very, very sacrificing. And Prabhupada is our model, how sacrificing he was. So one should, see, unless you take some pain for someone, then it is not considered love, right? For our near and dear ones, how much pain we take? Is that not true? If a child is born in a home, You see how much pain one takes. You can see that. So we can see how much pain are we taking for Krishna. How much burden of Krishna are we taking on our shoulders. So we have to ask that. So when we do that, then we are actually, then Krishna is pleased. And one doesn't expect anything in return. Just like Sudama went to Krishna's house. And he met Krishna, had darshan of Krishna. But he didn't ask anything in return. Without his asking, Krishna gave him abundantly. So when the demigods asked Krishna for a favor, after offering all wonderful prayers to him, they said, now we want your help, you know, to kill Vritrasura. Then the Lord felt very bad. Lord said, why did you ask me that question? Don't you know that my devotees, they gain all favors from me without asking anything from me. Why did you ask me that favor? So Lord chastised them actually. So we should learn to selflessly serve Krishna in a mood of sacrifice with love and a spirit of service attitude. And our life should be molded. Actually, increasingly we should be becoming more and more dedicated to Krishna. That is very, very important. As we are going on in any ashram, Grihastha ashram, Brahmacharya ashram, we should be becoming more and more dedicated. If our understanding is developing, then that should actually reflect in our dedication. Otherwise, our understanding is not developing. Some people are coming for 10 years, you know, one round chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I am coming 15 years to the program, same one round. There are people like that. Then how do you... You can clearly see that there is no tangible realization at all, even after coming so many years. So when some people are coming, they will be there for the program, they will do, but there is absolutely no seva, absolutely no service of Krishna. Neither in terms of money, nor in terms of their physical body, rendering service with hands and legs, karmendriyas, no, they don't do any service. No monetary help, no physical help, absolutely no help. But they just show up only for the program. That is also useless. So, love means service. Otherwise, there is no love. Prabhupada stresses this in many places. That's why Prabhupada called it devotional service. He never called it bhakti as devotion. So, we all have to ask ourselves. So, one of the classes in future after the Jamashtami, so I was telling that we will take a meeting of all of you, which means that in the class itself, we'll have a class where all of you, we'll be giving you a slip. We'll fill up your name and your services, what service you do for Krishna and what are the future services you want to do for Krishna. So we'll write. So by that you can know yourself how much time, like Mahaprabhuji, you know Mahaprabhu, he travels all over India. I met him in Hyderabad also. He very strongly preaches this. He says this triangle, remember this triangle, 8, 8, 8 hours. He says, 8 hours of your day you should be engaged in Krishna service. 8 hours of your day is for your homely household duties and duties connected to your family and everything, and 8 hours are for your personal self, like, you know, your own washing of clothes and your own activities which you have to do, you know, personal activities. So you are selling material, spiritual, and then personal, three things you are selling. So you are selling in Pune also when he was here, on Sunday face you are selling. Then he says very confidently, he says, he read it in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you are selling. Then your life can be considered totally spiritual, if you are doing like this. So we have to check our everyday activity, how do we... So sometimes people feel, once in a week program I go, evening program I attend, and then my own home I am chanting, it's finished. So that is not the end of spiritual life. Spiritual life can be intensified, you can make it more and more serious, by more dedication. Like I went to Hyderabad, the Bhakti Vriksha people come every morning, 10 of them come together in one house and they chant in the same area. Morning they get up at 4:35, they come together, do Mangalarti and they chant together. So they have about 8 Bhakti Vrikshas and they all are coming like that, I heard. Come together to one house and they chant together, rising early in the morning, family chanting together. So that is one kind of dedication, isn't it? Like, you know, at least we can try once in a week, twice in a week, it's like that. So, we have to always be contemplating how to increase my surrender to Krishna. Like Ambarish Maharaj, he was a king himself, but then he wanted to take Vanaprastha, and he wanted to surrender. And then Prabhupada writes there, so a millionaire is never satisfied with money, he tries to go on earning more and more, even after becoming a millionaire. Similarly, a pure devotee is never satisfied with his existing situation, he wants to go on increasing his service. Just as a millionaire wants to expand money, a devotee wants to expand his or her service. Like that, yeah. Yes, sir. So this verse, last verse of 11th chapter, teaches us how, What are the components of that Ananya Bhakti? How we should serve Krishna? Hare Krishna.
To earn some money now. Say 5 years or 10 years. And then devotional service, where it is going to be? Where?
Yeah.
And then we can fully enter into devotion.
Yeah.
So how is that idea?
See, he is saying, let us work for 5-6 years nicely and earn a lot of money, and then we will do devotional service fully, totally, later on. So I was telling, even those boys who are earning 2,000 rupees in the temple, you know, brahmachari boys, who are going to join as brahmachari, I told them that even they have to give some 10% of their earning, like 5% or 10% of their earning, I told them. Like, you know, they are earning 1,500, they can give 150 rupees to Krishna service. Now they may say that, Prabhuji, anyway we know our ashram, we are going to join full time. But I told that this giving habit is very good. Like small drops of water make a ocean, as we say. So in the same way, even if one has a plan that in 5-6 years I'll earn a lot and I'll dedicate. Actually, I have seen even in Bombay, many families, they had planned like that. Now 15-20 years have gone, they themselves said, yeah, they couldn't come out of it. And Krishna Shapu was telling one interesting thing. He was saying that as you go ahead in your business, in your field, and earn more and more money, like for example software company. So initially you are in at this level, and then you go here, you go higher, go higher, go higher, and then you become a team leader and everything, and you become a manager and all. Then you earn a lot of money, and you have to possess facilities which are in par with your salary, otherwise nobody will respect you. Like, you know, you can't go in a bicycle to company, isn't it? So that, can a manager come in a bicycle? Of course, if he is a Gandhiji, he can come. If any of you are like Gandhi, Gandhi was a man with the guts. He could do that. No? He never cared. He went to Senate meeting, big meetings. He was the only one dressed like that. If we have so much of inner sense of worth, no, we can be like that. We can go in Dhoti Kurta also. You know? So, none of us are like that. So, it's difficult for anybody, isn't it? So, you can't go in a cycle, or you can't go in a Luna, or you can't go in a scooter. Actually, if you are a project leader, you have to go in a car, and particular type of car. And many of your company people would like to come to your house, so you can't live in a small house. You need a bigger house, isn't it? So naturally, when you say bigger house, bigger car, everything, so you have to spend money. When you earn lots of money, you spend also a lot, actually. Just like people say, when you live in America and take a green car, then you are not much different from people living in India, they say. Because you spend also a lot. You earn a lot, and spend a lot. So you are not making much. But if one goes to America and comes back in 3-4 years, then they are earning something. Like that, yeah. So of course it's a good idea if one has a strong desire, one keeps some security money above the years. And even at that time, one should have some earning coming regularly. For example, say, you save some 15-20 lakhs, for example, you have saved, and you have own house. And you have 15-20 lakhs, and you have own house also. And you also have monthly some 5 to 10,000 rupees coming, you know, every month it's coming. Apart from the money that you have kept in the bank and fixed deposit, you know, then one's position is reasonably safe. This I'm telling for a, you know, mediocre average grihastha. One who is now drawing like, you know, about 15-20,000, for a person like that, after say something like 5-6 years, one is able to put oneself in this position, he's a very satisfied person. Actually, whatever money is coming monthly, like there are people who do consultancy, you know. They work only 2-3 days in a week, not even full day. They work just about 3 hours in a day and three days in a week. And all other time they are doing devotion service. There are a lot of time like that. There are people like that. Those who have, if they want, they can grow in business, but they don't grow. They just do minimum and they are getting like 5-10,000 rupees in a month. And they have own property, own house they have. And some money is also coming every month. So they are happy with that, and they can do a lot of devotion service. Actually, there are many devotees in Chaupati who ask Sadhana Swami, they want to become full-time devotees. They want to be full-time, husband, wife, both. But Maharaj said, if you really want to do that, you have to bring yourself to a position of self-sufficiency. You should not depend on ISKCON for any salary at all. Husband and wife and children, you should be able to depend on yourself. Like in Juhu temple, in those days, some people joined as full-time devotees, husband and wife. And before they got children, whatever money the temple gave, it was enough for them. They are taking prasadam in the temple, accommodation is given. So they hardly needed any money. So they gave little money to them and they were happy with that. And they were totally absorbed in service. But then they got children. When they got the children grew up, they said, we want to go to America. And they wanted money for going to America, 20,000 rupees ticket. So then they asked Jugu whether he can provide ticket for my son to go to America. So then that becomes a problem, it becomes a burden on the society. They will not be able to provide such money. They can provide some mediocre education, but they want education in a good school, then more money like that. That's why those are grihasthas, if they have children, they have to raise the children, bring them to a stage where the children can stand on their own legs. Like, you know, by the time you become 40, 45, 50. That's why Panchashubodham one can be like Vanaprastha. After 50, if children are standing on their own legs, you know, and you have your own property, then one can devote a lot of time. And one should be winding up the business, one should be going in that direction. Rather than starting some new business at that age. Like some people start new business when they are 50. You know. Now the old one is going on peacefully. Old one I give it to my son and I start a new one. You know. There are some people like that. No, you should not unnecessarily. You start Krishna's business after that, yeah. But again, the same old point, if you still have a lot of passion to do business, no problem, you start your own business, earn a lot and give a lot. That's why I remember that. If you have a lot of passion to do work, what should we do? Earn a lot, give a lot. You always remember this? And if your passions are reduced, you have come to goodness already. Now you are too much in goodness, now you just want to use your body, mind and manasa, deha, geha, yogi, chumava. Better then you become a full-time guest, I can serve, you know, have some savings. I don't know, Satyam Maji can tell us, Maji, what do you think is for average family you would consider to be a money of security, money for a husband, wife and one child family in today's life? 50 lakhs, is it? 50 lakhs, oh, including property you are saying? Oh, right. Jarepu, let us ask Jarepu. How much, Prabhu Jarepu? This is apart from the house?
No, even if you got 20 lakhs investment and return say 8% annually, you are having about 1.6 lakhs.
Yeah. So even if there are rent, which comes to how much per month? From the deposit. Plus you have the own house, you are not paying rent also.
No, when I say 50 lakhs, all house, everything. Yeah. Everything comes.
Right, including house. Yeah.
Everything, house, vehicle. No.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, you can take a mean average of both. Actually, you know, if I speak, you know, it won't make much sense, you know. Somebody, these are the most mature grihasthas living. So many years they have lived. So that speaking makes more sense. If any of you has a plan, already a handful of 4 or 5 young couple grihasthas have come to me. And they were asking me, Toji, what is the standard for joining full-time? You know, grihasthas, husband, wife, you know, we want to work full-time. So they were asking, in the new temple, do you have a scope, you know, for a full-time grihasthas? So I was telling them that certainly we are planning to make a facility for grihasthas to come and stay, you know. Like, there will be plenty of facility when we make a new temple. There will be abundant facility for accommodation. So they can stay in the temple itself and do all kinds of services, go out for preaching. In fact, in our youth preaching, we are realizing how much grihasthas are needed. Brahmacharis cannot enter many colleges. Saffron, Chevenan. So, grihasthas can do powerfully 10 times more in such places if they are full time. See, the problem with grihasthas is they have business and job and family now. And the problem with brahmacharis is they are in saffron, they can't enter many places like that. Yeah, those who are full time grihasthas, they are the ones who expand our society, if you see originally. London, how London preaching came up? They were young couple grihasthas. They were all actually full time grihasthas actually. Young couple, old couple, it hardly makes difference because they have their own different types of service they have. Both will be able to do a lot actually. Anyway, I am not giving an indirect inspiration to all of you to become full-time grihasthas. Everyone has a choice. And there are people who, even among devotees, who have a lot of passion to work. And that is not condemned. Arjuna was actually Kshatriya. And he had passion to work. And Krishna told him, you are a Kshatriya, you have to fight. He told him, you can't become a Brahmana with a begging bowl. Because if you pretend to be a Brahman, if somebody doesn't give you alms, you will immediately raise your sword to kill him. Because you have that chatrata in you. Similarly, if you have that chatra in you, work hard, earn a lot. So people ask me, Prabhu, should I go for a software company or should I go for a teaching job? I tell you, it depends on your nature. You can't tell you where you should go. You have to decide. Yeah. According to one's nature, one has to decide. But if one is earning a lot, one should also give a lot. That is actually the standard. Like Arjuna gave himself. The whole body he bought only for Krishna. We can see that. And of course, one should also save for emergency, as Rupa Goswami says. One should not squander all the money that comes. People who earn a lot of money, they spend like anything. There are software engineers who earn 20,000 and they spend 20,000. Practically everything they spend like anything, like water. So these questions should be asked in your counselor meetings. There you can get. In fact, they can have whole classes on these things. Because these are very practical things, very important things. How big a house should be. So a counselor can tell you according to your status and everything. Yeah. According to your nature.
Concept that I will work today and tomorrow I will become devotee is not very encouraging.
No, it is good. You can work today and... But that doesn't mean you can cut down on your minimum spiritual life. That is not permissible. If somebody, like somebody said, Prabhuji, I will go abroad, you know, to some God forbidden place, you know, and I'll earn a lot of money and I'll come back, you know. And he's going to such a remote place where there is no ISKCON temple, there are no devotees absolutely, but he gets a lot of money. Like you go to join the Schlumberger company. So in those days, they were giving 80,000 per month. So when we were studying, we used to go and see the number of digits, which job offers the maximum salary. You know? So when you saw 80,000, you were wondering, is it per month or per annum? You know, you're wondering. You know? Yeah. They're giving 80,000. Now they're giving much, much more. Yeah? But you know what kind of job it is? You have to work in the offshore projects, in the middle of the ocean, in, you know, top, they have very, very big towers in the middle of the ocean, you know, and, rigs and things like that. Many people die also in that. Many people die and high risk is involved in that. And although they give you, you know, 6 months off they give you, still it involves tremendous life risk. And also tremendous pollution that kills half of your life. So one has to think, you know, a devotee does not have to go for such jobs. You know, to earn and come back. You will go, you will never come back. You will say that. You will never come back. You know. Devotee should not take unnecessary risk. That's why devotee should ask the counselor, whether can I go, is it an over ambition or is it a proper ambition? See, over ambition means it will lead to burnout. That is over ambition. We can easily see that. Over ambition means burnout. If it is a proper ambition, we will have excitement. The excitement is certainly needed in life. We don't say all of you become mendicants, you know, take your water pot, kamandalu, and, you know, become sadhus. That's not possible for everyone. We need excitement in life, we want thrill, we want some... That is what Krishna is saying. You do that, but you learn to offer the fruits. Not like that Baniya businessman who put a photo in his shop and saying, I also have a photo. Huh? Not like that. One should actually literally offer fruits to Krishna. Hare Krishna. When people are used to... One speaker we have seen also, when you change the speaker becomes very difficult for many people. In other programs also we have seen that. Everywhere, yeah. Yeah. If you are the speaker of a Bhagavad Gita, 11 o'clock you give Bhagavad Gita class, I think, right? No. They will naturally become attached to you because you speak very well.
Why? Why?
Yeah. Actually, see, Krishna became attached to Sudama because they both were catching each other's hand and they were also carrying this log of wood, firewood from the forest, you know. So when we render service together, the more we associate with people, devotees, we get attached to them. It's very natural. See, wherever there's interaction more, you know, we've even seen boys from Pune, those who go to Bombay or any other place, where they get closer and closer association, they become very, very attached for a period of time. Like you can see, like one devotee has come from one Ram Mohan Prabhu, he came from Radha Kalsanji, you know, from Dallas, Texas. So he is in Pune, but he is always in Dallas consciousness. You can see that. He keeps telling people about Dallas, the original place where he came to Krishna consciousness, you know. So we all have attachment to the place where we originally became Krishna conscious, and also people who connected us originally, the host. Actually, attachment is very, very natural. It shouldn't be sentimental, as I said earlier. Actually. Yeah. See, how can we know it's not sentimental? If it is not sentimental, then we will be able to hear the Shabda Brahma coming from any mouth. Yeah. Like, you know, our Guru Maharaj speaks or any other Guru speaks. We should hear, because it's not Shabda Brahma coming from the mouth of Vaishnavas. We should hear like that, yeah. So, yeah. It should not be superficial. It should be deep, actually. Can we do finance Kirtan, or is it too late? Keeps distance from Mayavadis, but he is not envious of Mayavadis. A devotee keeps distance from atheist. No, you should keep distance. You don't have to, because you know, if you try to become envious of them and try to harbor some malice in your heart towards them, then that will harm you only. A devotee should never cause any injury to any living entity.